Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 14. We started last week on teaching about a perverse spirit. And I believe that Isaiah 19 and 14, that we come out and left last Thursday night realizing that a perverse spirit is far more than what our minds actually let us believe that it was. Amen. How many agrees with that? How many left here last Thursday night with their head just spinning about the word? Amen. That's the way the Lord does us when we are so... I looked at Cassie the other day, and we were standing in the warehouse, and we were talking about church, and we was talking about how what it meant to walk in a blessed life versus somebody just always giving you something. You know, you can't, I'm going to say this nicely, you can't live for God with a liberal mentality. Uh-oh. And I'm not talking politics, I'm talking about always wanting somebody to give you something. Liberalism is always trying to make it easy for somebody, to where that they don't have to work for what they get or strive for what they get. You know, I realize the older I get, the more I work for something, the more I appreciate it. And the more that we ought to appreciate everything that God puts in our lives. Amen. And whether it be small or big, we ought to thank Him every day. You know, the Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings.
That's right.
What you think may be small and you're watching everybody else be blessed, your blessing's coming. But God's going to test you to see if you'll hang on to what He's gave you. And if we can hang on, God will give us more than we can handle. Heaped up, pressed down, shaken together. I've watched some of y'all ladies cook. You'll grab that pan off that stove and shake it. You know what you're doing? You're trying to get it level again. You're trying to get that cheese mixed in with that macaroni. How many does that? Are you trying to level those potatoes out that you are... that spaghetti that's about to boil out, or whatever you're trying to fix. You know, there's nothing wrong with shaking yourself to level yourself out. I'm going to teach us tonight. And there's sometimes that we need a shaking, because our mindset is not what God wants us to be. And our desires are not where God wants us to be. Amen. Let's go back and read verse to Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 14. The Bible says, "The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit." Now, we learned last week that God will not send a perverse spirit into your life to cause you to fall. We went to the book of James, and we understand that God will not tempt you with evil. But when our mindset, when we understand what the word perversion or the word perverse really means, it simply means an alteration of something from its original purpose. And when we try to change the state or to distort the corruption of something that should have been pure in the beginning, then we've tried to change the mind of God. So the Bible begins to teach us that when we begin to have and we entertain a spirit of perversion. Now it goes to a different area, and we're going to talk about this one today. I want to talk about how people are trying to alter and change the plan and the purpose of God in their lives. Now we understand the book of Romans teaches us that the first chapter, that men desired to go after the unnatural affections that were not meant to be, in the beginning. Amen. And I don't back up, or I don't stand back, or call me hate crimes or all you want to. But my Bible teaches me that the spirit of homosexuality, the spirit of lesbianism, the spirit of all these things that are unnatural in the eyes of God are not meant for men and women to grab a hold of and play with and try to call themselves Christians in this last hour. We're not going to make it to heaven trying to change God's plan. Amen. He meant one man and one woman. Not two men, not two women, not changing any of that. And we all understand and know that that is an abomination in the eyes of God. He destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of that abomination. And we cannot afford in this last hour, as the world is trying to change the policies and the procedures of how the church and the principles of Jesus Christ work in a church. They're trying to legalize this stuff. They're trying to legalize it through political changes. Hallelujah. There's no way that the church and politics mix. We can't run a church according to politics. So yeah, when that happens, organizations are started. Uh-oh. Now, there's nothing wrong with organizations. But if they're not run correctly and they're not followed by the plan of God and the purpose of God, and they're changing things in our lives, then somewhere or another we're following the man more than we are our God. Now don't leave here today saying I'm teaching on organization. I'm not. Because I believe that we can grab a hold of things and it can change us when it's not the principles and the purpose of God. We cannot alter the word. We are to forgive all men as God has forgiven us. We are to show mercy and grace as God has showed us mercy and grace. Pastor, you're too long-suffering. No, no, no. I'm showing mercy because God has showed me mercy. I don't want to get to heaven and say you're not going to make it because you failed to show that one saint that walks into the church the mercy that they should have obtained. They should have felt when they walk into the atmosphere of the church of God. Amen. I don't believe the church ought to be programmed. I don't believe it ought to be telegraphed. I believe we ought to come in and we ought to feel the power and the presence of God every time we walk through the doors. It may not always be in a shout. You may not always be running the aisles. You're not always going to be crying. You're not always going to be preaching, praise God. But if we follow the purpose and the plan in which God has took us to, and He's trying to get His church to, praise God. My desire is that I don't have just preacher religion. My desire is that if Brother Brindley dies, the church dies. My desire is not that we follow after some man somewhere that's got a big name or a big church or big whatever. I want to know how much God you have in you when the tough times come. I want to know how much God you have in you when your trials come. Praise God that when you see yourself at the end of your trial, that you can see your hands raised and said, I know that if I held on, I could make it and I can stand where God called me to stand tonight.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. What Isaiah is telling us tonight, that God will withdraw Himself when perversion begins to enter into the hearts and the minds of man. He will not stay in an unclean temple. He will not dwell in a temple that is not purposed and patterned after Him. That's why folks are falling by the wayside, because they're more involved in themselves than they are living for God. Look at me. Listen to me. Watch me. How many sees that today in the churches today? How many sees that in the world today? They're trying to pattern themselves after things that are not of God. They're patterning themselves after things that God's not in today. And God will withdraw Himself and allow you to indulge yourself. Listen to me today. He will allow you to indulge yourself into ever how deep you want to go in it.
That's right.
But don't expect Him to go with you.
That's right.
Don't expect God to be obligated in sin. He's not obligated in sin. The only thing He can do to sin is judge it or redeem it. The only things He can do is judge it or redeem it. But my desire today is that we don't alter where God's taking us. Now you can take yourself. Everybody follows. The religious world says, well, the Bible says no man can pluck you out of His hand. That's what it says. But your decisions and the influence of this world, you can pluck yourself out of His hand. You may not always be in the place that you should be with God. You're not always going to be standing there, and you may not always make the right decisions. How many's made wrong decisions in their life? And you've paid for them. You've had to pay the price for what you've done. It may not have been the next day. It may not have been 2 years down the road, but somewhere or another you've paid the price for the sins that we've committed. And whatever spirit you open up in your life, you will fight for the rest of your life. If you don't want to fight something, don't entertain that spirit. Don't open that spirit up that I'm going to alter the things of this world, and I'm going to accept some things in my life, and I'm going to accept some things. And the raw, what's happening is the church world today is starting to allow the things of the world to creep into the church. And they're altering how that we worship. Brother Spencer trying to tell us how we worship. You know, I just learned that your name was Johnny. You're a good man. I can say that. You know why? Because my name's Johnny. But he can tell us. That ain't part of the message, but I just want to let you. You're a good man. He knows it anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But when we allow those things to come into the church, you know, years ago, I'm in that part where I had to grow up in the new light, new generation, and had enough of the old generation. I didn't want to let go of the old to grasp a hold of all this new stuff.
That's right.
But years ago, we prayed sin out of the church.
Yes.
How many was in that era? Yes. Where we prayed sin out of the church. There would be people that would come into the church. I can tell you of days that drunks come into church, and they either left sober or they left. There's days that folks would come in and cause trouble. I remember days that people would carry handguns in with the intent to shoot my dad from the pulpit. But we prayed those things out. There's times that there was no opportunity for the devil to play in a service, because the church was made up. They had a prayer meeting before service. They had their preachers that prayed to get their message versus following the internet to listen to one so they could reiterate it. Then they had opportunity to you know, we had real preachers called to God back in the old days. You knew who was called and who wasn't.
That's right.
You didn't have to say, this one's called, and you know, mama didn't call them or put them in a position, a place, whatever. Some folks are just waiting on mama to call them and say, you need to start preaching. That's what's happening this day. Then we'll send them off with the Bible to a college. There's nothing wrong with Bible colleges. And we teach them how to preach. We teach them how to do all this. But when we grew up in this, you knew a man had a call of God in his life. When God changed him, you knew that he had a call of God. You knew that he had something inside of him that God wanted to use. The church did not alter the presence of God. They did not alter the vision of the holiness of God. They did not alter the ways that we worshiped God. Nowadays, we're worried if we're going to offend somebody if we shout one way or another. Somebody falls out, throws a fit, and God really redeems their life. Folks don't want to see that anymore. They don't want to be a part of that no more. They want us to behave when visitors come. They want us to act right when people walk through the church. Friend, people didn't get the Holy Ghost by sitting in a pew. There was no pew in the church back in the Old Testament. There was only one seat, and that was the mercy seat. When they came into the tabernacle, it was either to be redeemed and washed, and your sins rolled for another year. I often wonder why folks come into the house of God and what their purpose is when they enter into the house of God. And then I often say, Lord, I really don't want to know what they're thinking. Because I'd be afraid of what I'd have to forgive if I knew more. That's why I don't want nobody telling me nothing. You know why? Because I don't have to forgive stuff that I don't need to know.
That's right.
And if you use your ears for that, you're just going to have to repent. Because that's what's going to happen. You're hearing stuff you shouldn't listen to. Get away from it. Get away from those things. People will pay the price for what they've altered in their life. But the church, it has to be the church. We have to get back to a place to where that when we lay hands on the sick, we watch them recover. That's right. We have to get to a place to where that they respect the elders. Don't walk around and say, well, he bores me because he's slow and older. I've not heard that, but I just patted you on the shoulder. I don't know why.
That's a good saying.
Don't say I'm going to quit because Brother Brindley's using this one or using that one. You know, God has a plan for everybody. He has a work in everybody's life, and they have to make their calling election sure. But we have to bring back the respect of the elders to the church. We have to bring. I looked across the crowd Sunday, and I said, Lord, I said, most folks would look out and say, we got a bunch of old timers here. But what I see here and what God is doing in this place, He is building a foundation of those that knows what it takes to live for God.
Right.
He's building a foundation. I don't care how old you are. You must understand something is. Those young ones desire to be where you're going to be at. Because you are the one that's going to be the sure thing that builds the church. You're going to be the one that stays stable and stays in tune with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's times I've seen Brother McIntosh get up and teach a Bible study and preach a little bit, and he not know what he's saying or what he's even doing, praise God. And he'll walk back and, you know, he'll saunter back shaking that head and wondering why in the world did I preach what I preached. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad for men that know how to follow what God is telling them to minister to the church. We can't get filled on ready-made and fabricated messages. We cannot be filled on those that sit around and try to figure out something that's never preached before. Praise God. You know what's keeping the church strong? We're still preaching Acts 2:38. We're still preaching baptism in Jesus' name. We're not letting an alteration happen in the church today. Come in and get baptized the way you want to. No. We go down in Jesus' name and we come out in Jesus' name. We preach in Jesus' name. We heal in Jesus' name. We baptize in Jesus' name. We magnify God in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you, church, we can't let go of the pillars of the foundation of the church and not let go of the church of the living God in this last hour. Hallelujah. We can't alter. Romans 1 and 28, the Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. How can you live an alternate lifestyle when your desire is not to retain the knowledge that God exists in this world? I'm telling the truth tonight. There's no way, Brother Spencer, we can even fathom or put in our mind that those lifestyles can exist in the church when they don't even like to retain the knowledge of who God is. They can't tell us who Christ is because they don't even care if Christ is in their church. They don't care. It's more. And hear me tonight, church. There's nothing wrong with ideas and things together and get people to the church. But we didn't have all that growing up. We didn't think about all that growing up. Because today's society is that they want to alter the real church.
That's right.
They want to alter what we stand for so that we can gather the masses that we look like we're a church, that we sound like a church, that we might just praise like a church a little bit, but we're not really a church because we don't desire the things of God and the miracles and the signs and wonders. I want to tell you something, church. If the signs and wonders ever start happening in the church, you won't be able to even house all of them, praise God, because the Bible said when Jesus began to do miracles that they stood outside the tabernacle. They stood outside the temple desiring to get in His presence. The Bible says out in the streets they thronged Him trying to touch Him. If I could but touch the hem of His garment, I know that I could be made whole. They stood outside and listened to His voice to where that they knocked holes in the ceiling and the rooftops just to get down into His presence to feel His power and magnify His good God. I want to tell you today we ought to just go ahead and be the church that God called us to be. We ought to just go ahead and say we're not here to alter our praise. I'm not here to back up to the devil. I'm not here to be in nowhere, praise God. But I want to see this perverse nation changed by the power and the renewing of their minds. And God, change our lives today. Let's lift our hands and praise Him tonight. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, for all that You are in us. You see, the reason that a lot of folks can't see where God wants them to be is that most of the time when you're trying to find direction somewhere, now this piece of paper was all white and it just had one black dot in it, and you ask the whole crowd, what do you see here? Most folks would say, I see a little black dot. And they would be right. They don't ever see the big picture. And very few, Sister Spence, would stand up and say, I see a white piece of paper. It's always the analytical spirit that folks come to church with. It's always that I see the blemishes in your life. I see the spots that cause you to fall no matter how big your paper is. All I see is that one blemish in your life. Nobody ever gives directions and says, how do I get to Walmart from here? You know what they always say? Go down to the red light. How many's ever heard that? You go down to the first red light and turn left, and you get to the next red light. And then you go straight through it, and you're right there at Kroger's or wherever you're going to be. Nobody's ever gave you directions and says, go down to that first green light. How many, you never hear nobody where they give you an opportunity to just keep going. They've always got an answer to let you know where you need to stop. Where you need to not go any further, praise God. And that's the way that folks are today when you are achieving in God and even in your personal life. I believe you will not achieve in your personal life unless God is in the blessings of your life.
Right.
Now David said, my feet were well nigh slipped when I seen the prosperity of the wicked. I'm not talking about unblessed finances. I'm talking about people that know how to work with, like we taught Sunday, that knows how to work with what God has blessed you with. You can be broke and still be blessed. You can have nothing and still have everything. I've seen my brother and sister-in-law not have anything. All he had worked for was the school system. And if anybody knows what school systems pay, you know that it's not very much. But they increased every year. They're given to God. Every year they increased, they're given. Sister Janet, I've never seen them want for anything. Right now, folks are looking for houses and cars and stuff like that. And how can I attain this and how can I get this? Right now, this year, they live. She is now an apartment complex manager. They live rent-free, free housing. Their water bill's paid. Their electric bill's included. Somebody walked up the other day and gave them a brand new vehicle. And they're driving it today. You know why? Because they stayed faithful.
All right.
Well, I can't afford it. I heard somebody the other day, I'll pay my car payment before I pay my tithes. You know what? You'll live an Esau blessing and never know what Jacob experienced. And they're still losing stuff. But I've seen them struggle. I've watched them work with one job all their lives. I've watched all this, but they never stop giving and doing what God asked them to do. And when we stop doing what is the principle of God, and we stop fulfilling what God's promises is, you know what? You know what the bad part about Esau's life is? Is that he went back to Jacob and met him. And Jacob blessed him with what should have been his in the very beginning.
That's right.
Isn't it sad that you have no control when you don't bless your church and you don't bless God? You know what happens is God will give you just a portion of what you should have had all along. And you'll live on the backside in darkness. You'll live on the backside struggling. You'll live on the backside alternating and changing and saying, I don't have to do this, or I'm not going to do it this Sunday, or I'm not going to do it next Sunday, friend. I want to tell you something. You tell me you can't afford to do it. God's been so good to me. I can't afford not to do it, praise God, because He is so good to me, and He keeps pouring out His blessings. He keeps opening up the windows of heaven. Every time I ask Him something, He'll perform it, praise God, as long as it is according to His purpose and His will. But a perverse spirit. Well, maybe I can sideswipe all these requirements of God. Maybe I can sideswipe all this, the way that I live for God. Maybe I can not do the things I should be doing. You know, sin, perverse sins, creates sicknesses that you can't stop. They're still trying to find a cure for the AIDS virus. They're still trying to find cures for things that they can't break loose from. Now let's understand something. Sickness comes from another a spirit that we will teach about, called the spirit of infirmity. That we have to be careful what we entertain ourselves in.
Right.
It was when I began to study the spirit of infirmity, brother, that I realized that the spirit of cancer had a hold of your body. And I never said anything to nobody. I never told you, never told anybody I was studying about that. And I realized that we've got to talk to that spirit before we're ever going to get rid of it. Now, if you don't want, if you're not ready to get rid of something, there'll be people standing in church, Lord, touch this one's body. Touch. We're so general when we pray. And we're so just nonchalant anymore when we pray that we don't really get down to the business with God and say, this is what I need.
Yes.
The woman that had a daughter, she didn't say she was vexed. She said, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. And I've come for you to heal her. It's not until you start speaking to what's in your house. And it's sometimes it's our children that are holding us back. But it's because it's our children, we won't do anything about it. And we understand, and it's very understandable, the love that you have for a child. But when you start showing them some godly tough love and say, you know what? You've brought a spirit into my house. And you've brought something into him here that we have to get out. Don't imprison yourself by allowing spirits to live within the realms of your home. Praise God. Because before you know it, you start doing things. Oh, no, not me. I'll never deny you, Lord. Not me, Lord. I'll never start doing this or that or the other. Friend, I want to tell you something. You don't have the power within yourself to defeat the enemy.
That's right.
Now, you can play with him. You can talk about it. You can shout about it. You can run about it. Whatever you want to do. But you are no match for the devil. We are no match for the enemy and the things that he comes at us with. You know why? Because we operate in the realm of our flesh. How does the enemy work spiritually through us? Through the works of the flesh. Now you understand what I'm saying here. The enemy spiritually works through us through the works of the flesh. What did we teach about 3 or 4 weeks ago? The spirit of divination, a divining spirit that desires to look like God, act like God, talk in tongues like God, but don't want any part of God. The devil's job is to try to turn our minds to where that we've convinced ourselves that we're all right. And it's a sad day that there's many that are sitting on a pew that are living in sin. Hear me. You need to say amen on this one. That are living in sin. That have convinced themselves that what they're doing is okay. They've convinced themselves that everything that they've done, it's all right. I want to tell you something, church. This might hurt you, Brother McIntosh. There is no love between a man and woman that should stop you from every day saying, God, whatever it takes that's in me,
that's right,
I want to make it to heaven.
Oh, yes. Right.
If my spouse don't want to go,
yes,
I want to go.
That's right.
If my children don't want to go, I still want to go. I want to see God. There's no child, there's no love that in the heart of man that should stand between you and your walk with God.
That's right.
Now, I want my wife to love me till the day I draw my last breath.
Sure.
But I don't want to go to hell for me.
That's right.
I want my children to love me and know that their daddy took care of them. That I gave them all I could as long as I was here on this earth. But I don't want them to be lost because I failed.
That's right.
I don't want them to be lost because I fell short. And when we try to alter what God has placed in us, we try to alter the things that God has put inside of us. Praise God. He said, Isaiah said this. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Friend, hear me today. When you think you're standing, let's say what the Bible says. When you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. You can get all the way to the top of the ladder in the church. Brother Spence, we can get up there at the top of the ladder with our hands raised high and our banner raised high, and God will still look down from heaven and say, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts."
Right.
You know why? Because who can make a statement that says, "Neither eye has seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for us?" You know what? What you produce, watch me now. The Lord's trying to speak to me tonight. What you produce is what you are. What God produced in the heavens is what He is. And heaven, as much as you feel Him in a powerful service, heaven is so much more and has never entered your mind to what heaven really is. The Bible says, "And I will pour out of my spirit." There's not a one of us here tonight that could stand all of the Holy Ghost at one time. But He pour out of His spirit. We have just a glimpse of what heaven is in us. We have just a glimpse, praise God, of what it's going to be. And you know what? You know what that tells me? That if you're not protecting your Holy Ghost, now realize that if you're not serving God, you're serving mammon. You're serving something that's not real, something that's not going to take you anywhere. But if God put a glimpse and a taste and a feel of heaven, and that's the Holy Ghost inside of us, why are we not protecting His power and His presence more than what we are today? It's a sad day, church, that this perverse generation, and we're living in a perverse generation. The Congress, the Senate, the government is all trying to do away with God. You know why you're hearing about God from Donald Trump? Because the end time is coming, and the man of perdition, the man of sin, is coming.
That's right.
And he's going to portray to this world that he knows God.
Yeah.
The reason why you're hearing about God now is because in the last days you're going to see leaders, the rulers, the false prophets are going to stand on their pedestals, and they're going to speak in tongue like the apostolics do. They're going to praise God like we do. You know what? The original churches and religions from years ago, how did you know the apostolic church? That was the shouting churches. There's not one religion today that don't shout now. Huh? Catholicism is beginning to speak in tongues in their services. The Pope stood out and proclaimed that he wanted to learn how to speak in tongues. And how? Hear me, church. You need to fear for your walk with God. You need to protect your walk with God, because you're trying to hold on to something in a perverse generation that will destroy you if you don't handle what you have.
That's right.
That he's stepping out and trying to take control, trying to do all these things. And we're not protecting the church. This generation is going places that the church never would go. This generation and body of believers are doing things that the church never used to do.
That's right.
They're putting their arms in and embracing things. The Bible says the kingdom of Satan is not divided. But you know what the sad part about it is? There's more division in the ministry than there is anything in this world. Why is the church divided? Why is our walk with God allowing that spirit? Let's alter it. Let's change it. Let's do it. If you're going to sit under a young man, I'm a young man. And there's a lot of times that there's older folks that can't sit under young men. But if you're going to sit under a young man, you better know that he's got some old-time roots in him.
That's right.
That he's going to hang on. I'm thankful that I had a daddy and a mama that's taught me how to live for God. That's taught me the ways of what the Word says. And that I didn't just stay and stand behind this pulpit and say, this is what Mama taught me. No, no, no. This is what the Lord is teaching me. This is what the Lord is saying. If you'd met me 10 years ago, you'd say, that's no, definitely not the same man. That's definitely not the same person you'd met 10 years ago. Hear me today, church. Don't get involved with a spirit of perversion. Well, I'm all right. I'm married. No. Don't miss the boat. We all know that pornography is wrong. We all know that perversion leads into a way of companionship and a life that's not conducive to what man and woman should be from the beginning that God made. I'm talking about allowing the enemy to alter and distort real relationship between you and your God. I'm talking about allowing the devil to say it's all right. Everybody in the world that's had children, well, I'm not going to make my children live it as hard as I. We all have said that. I want them to live, have it better than what I've had it. How many's made that statement? We know you have. You don't have to raise your hand. We've all made that statement. It's all right to live better. But we need to make sure we're living right. Make sure we're living what God has called us to do. Because man, I've got 3 minutes. Man is not synchronized with God like they say they are. They're not walking with God like that. If man prayed like they should, no, they don't pray. They don't pray no more. Men don't pray no more. They don't seek God no more. All through the Old Testament, if you wanted something from God, you talked to God. You sought after him. You laid children upon beds of sacrifice. Whatever it takes. Whatever it took to get God's attention and find who he was. Send me into a wilderness, but let me beat a rock until water comes out. Whatever it takes to get God's attention. And God allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. But man's not synchronized. They're not synchronized. They're not in sync with God. If we were in sync with God, we'd see more families in the church today. We'd see more homes together. I want to read Isaiah 5:20. Sin has twisted man that they believe right is wrong, dark is light, a lie is the truth. Nowadays, Satan is more credible. They want to bring in the doctrine of Satan more than they want to hear the Word of God. But what does Isaiah 5:20 do? This is where a perverse generation begins to shift the minds of men. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light." What's the Bible say? Neither is there a shadow of turning in Him. There is no dark side in God, church. There is no darkness in God. And like for darkness that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Well, I've got God figured out. You know, there's folks that really think they've got God figured out. I had somebody come to me, and I really lost a lot of respect for this person. In the middle of a service, this person had just happened to get up and sing. Service broke open. People worshiped. Had Sister Spence, we had a phenomenal service. And after church, we're setting out eating after service. That's what Pentecostal people do. And you know what they looked at me, Sister, or Lyndon told me? If I hadn't have got up and sang, the church would have never broke open. If I hadn't have done this, the service would have never exploded. People putting wisdom in their own eyes. Thinking that they have got it all together. God will not dwell in a haughty spirit. He will not work with arrogance. I'd rather hear somebody's voice that breaks down and crackles and to know that they have the Spirit of God in them than to listen to somebody that thinks they're it in the pulpit or in a music somewhere. Church, we don't need to alter what we have with God. We don't need to alter what God has in us. There's times I never want to walk behind this pulpit. You will never see me walk behind this pulpit thinking that I've got everything together and thinking that I am the only one that can preach the gospel. Lord, set me down if that spirit ever gets to that place. Many would teach you that Paul's problem was, may have been a woman problem or some type of, they try to come up with so many answers of why Paul had a thorn in his side. You know what that thorn was? That thorn was that I be not buffeted in my own self, because Paul was an anointed man. He followed Paul, and everywhere he went, people would lift him up and lift his ministry up. And he said, "Lord, that I be not buffeted. If I have to go to the grave with this thorn, let me go so I can make it to heaven. Whatever it takes that makes me what I need to be, whatever it takes, Lord, the mistakes I made back years ago in my life, if that's what holds me down and keeps me righteous, keep me together." Let's stand today. Whatever it takes to make it. Romans 1 and 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You don't have to walk in darkness to be the light of God. You know, when the Bible says that neither is there any shadow of turning in Him, that means He could stand out in the sun and He could outshine the sun. You could be in your brightest moment, in the brightest place, and your God will outshine every time. You don't have to be in darkness or be in a room of folks that are less fortunate, and because you have the Holy Ghost, you shine more than they do. Why don't you stand in the presence of God and shine as He shines? Stand in His presence and shine as He shines. Let's lift our hands and thank Him today.